But we're on record as having said this, Breaking Bad gets better every season.
Netflix pick of the week, what do you have for us? One more news.
Go ahead, English major.
Dexter doesn't know what a booty call is.
Hi, welcome to the 10th episode of Too Cool for Podcast. I am not your happiest or most gracious or smartest host, but my name is Anthony. And to my left is
Daniel Lee,
our formerly greatest and happiest and smartest and sometimes sleepiest host.
And presently.
The artist formerly known as host.
Presently.
Which he's been stripped of his duties today, though.
I wasn't stripped. I just graciously
Because
allowed,
you're so gracious. You're right. Absolutely.
Allowed somebody else to take over for
Absolutely.
Once.
Absolutely. Thank you. I just did it so we can move it along faster. Before we begin, this podcast is brought to us by two things. One, our website, toocoolforblog.wordpress.com.
Yes.
Where Daniel Lee has been gracious enough to write many an article, or not article, but many a post.
Such a tough duty.
About so many different things that happen in the pop culture, movie, Hollywood, and cartoon world. So thank you, Daniel, for that.
No problem.
We appreciate it.
And our second
seriously, that's a lot of hard work. Yes. I appreciate that.
And our second is Coca-Cola?
No. Our second is a blog that I edit for. a friend of mine that I met through sports.
Trader.
He's actually a student at UGA right now, University of Georgia. And his blog is Fear Not the Darkness, but Welcome Its Embrace. And
what's
it's
his blog
a very,
about?
It's a very inspiring blog. Let's just read his little... inquiry right here,
or his
little mission statement.
Are we allowed to?
Two guys, yes.
He's not going
to
sue us.
No, it's okay. I'm on it. It's cool.
Oh, okay.
So two guys who write to inspire, to promote change, and to bring a little perspective to the issues that we face in this modern day and age.
Two guys?
That me and him.
Ah.
Yeah. So maybe I help him a little more than I help you. I don't know. You know.
That's fine.
I pick my battles.
I do enough work on my own.
Yes. And
that equals four men's work.
For those of you looking for some inspiration for... you know, if you're going through a tough time, the stuff that he writes is very positive, and I would just give it a read. You can find it. You can like it on Facebook just as well as you can like our blog. I would definitely recommend that you give it a read.
Will it reconcile broken marriages?
No. Strangely enough, even though he's only 18, he hasn't had a marriage yet.
Oh.
So give him another 5 years, then we'll see. And if you're still doing it in 5 years, we'll see how it goes.
So he's a youngster with a bright outlook.
Very, very much so, yes.
Oh, I like
very,
that.
Very positive young
I like
man
that.
Named Sina. And I hope I'm pronouncing his last name wrong. He called me before this to make sure. Iranica, I believe, is how you say his name. Mm-hmm. Sina Iranica. I feel very bad for him because he's a Atlanta Falcons fan, and they lost very tragically 2 weeks ago. And it made me sad even to watch that.
I feel bad because he's an Atlanta Falcon fan. Oh!
This is where you insert great things, Laren. Okay, that's your job as producer. There.
Anyway, but the whole pessimism thing is overplayed, so I'm glad to hear about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I love it. It's refreshing.
Yes.
That's the word for it.
Yes.
Yeah. Like a Coca-Cola.
Just the ray
which
of
is not a sponsor, by the way.
Just a ray of sunlight on the dark world that is the internet.
Yes, exactly. All right. Now on to the itinerary of today's show, though.
Yes.
First, before we do anything, we have let me just lay it out, okay? So we have the first thing we're going to do is we're going to have a little rant by Daniel Lee because there's something
yes.
that's been bothering him that he wants to bring up, and you can read it about it. You can read about it on toocoolforblog.wordpress.com.
Mm-hmm.
Second, we're going to talk some movie news. We're going to give him some time to talk about the most important things that happened in movies these past couple of days. And lastly, we're going to talk about television comedies.
Yes.
And we will elaborate on that when we get there. So just
hold on.
Stay grounded, guys.
Hold on to your butts.
Stay with us. Yeah. But first, go ahead, Daniel. Give us your little rant that you had planned.
I'm angry that Cartoon Network has just pulled Young Justice and Green Lantern from their DC Nation
what
block.
What is Young Justice?
Young
Tell
Justice.
Us a little bit about that.
Young Justice is a show about the sidekicks in the DC Universe world.
Oh,
and
right.
Basically,
we
they
this.
Team up to carry out covert op missions because their adult counterparts are too famous to carry out these secret missions on
okay.
their own.
I remember when we talked about this,
yes.
too. Go ahead.
Anyway, it's a really good show. Same with Green Lantern. That's helmed by Bruce Timm, who is just a legend in animation. He's the guy who brought us Batman, the animated series, Superman, the animated series, all those good things. Unfortunately, they're being pulled. There were some Twitter confirmations that this will be the last season for both of these shows.
Uh-huh.
But it's still kind of out there as to the real...
So they're in limbo?
Yeah. So,
we don't actually know. So then what's your rant about? Why are you so angry?
Because it is on the verge of cancellation. Here. Like the.
So you're angry that it could be canceled?
Yes.
You could be angry for anything. Come on, man. You got to have something serious, like something. I mean,
it's mostly pretty substantial. Much, like, I mean, there are confirmations coming
out
and things like that.
Is it all but canceled? Is it virtually canceled? Like, give me a degree.
And here. For like the past, like since the start of both of these shows, they've been like delayed. They went into hiatus, so they were never they never had the chance to gain any momentum whatsoever.
Sounds
or
like
grab
TV,
any viewers.
Every TV comedy we're about
yes,
to talk
but
about.
Like sometimes those hiatus in between the seasons lasted for like over.
What's the
like,
plural for that? Hiatus.
Hiatus, whatever.
No, I'm curious.
Some went even as long as like
more
half
so
a year.
Than about what you're talking about, actually, I'm distracted now.
Half a year. That's a long time. Man, anyway.
Wait, a half a year hiatus?
Yeah.
Sometimes oh, yeah. Now I'm back. Okay, yes. That's like Community.
Yeah, they couldn't get any traction. Uh-huh. And then now like they're just like being like tossed out.
Superficial question here. Which one's better, Young Justice or Green Lantern?
Rumored to be tossed out. I like Young Justice.
So are you more upset that Young Justice is being canceled than Green Lantern?
Yes.
Is it just because it's such an original idea for a show? Because it sounds like a really original
idea.
It's
really colorful and plus they showcase a lot of like different.
What do you mean colorful? Like it's a cartoon. Of course it's colorful. What do you mean?
Did you really have to go for that one?
No, I'm sorry. I know it was easy, but like, I mean, come on, you chose that word.
Oh,
you,
come you on, you Anthony, were, you're better than
you,
that.
You knew what you were doing when you chose that word.
No.
Come on.
I knew
okay,
exactly
well,
what I was saying, but
mean?
It wasn't.
Well, what do you mean? Come on, give me something.
It also showcased a lot of different DC superheroes that you might not know about.
Uh-huh.
And then they also do a really good job of juggling character developments within the team and like the people off the roster. It was just like a really good show. And okay. Like the arcs carried on. There is actually character progression, story progression. It actually makes you... It makes a really good case for why these teams exist.
I like that. I mean, I know that sounds like really superficial or whatever, but yeah. I really like when shows have carryover, even if it was, I'm assuming it's a 30-minute show.
Yeah.
I really like when shows have carryover and things that permanently affect mm-hmm. the next episode of the show
yes.
or the direction of the season, stuff like that. It's not just like, oh, we forgot about that big revelation that he mm-hmm. gave us in the last episode.
Yes.
So I like that. And that's actually pretty big for cartoons because mm-hmm. usually what you see with these kind of cartoons is they're just like episode by episode bases.
And some people might even think, you know, like these side character shows, like why would I care?
For side,
right?
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm thinking
right now. But like it makes a really good case for why this team ought to exist.
The show makes a good case?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Huh. Ah, well.
Yeah. And then plus all these other adult heroes actually appear in the periphery of the show as well. So they're not just like tossed out or anything. They actually appear. They actually come as mentors for these young heroes.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Really good show. Really well animated. Love it.
Does this conclude your rant? Anything else?
One silver lining in here is that perhaps maybe they're
Jennifer Lawrence?
Looking to move it to like a different block or whatever.
Still on Cartoon Network?
Hopefully.
We're talking about Cartoon Network here.
Hopefully. I hope that's where it's going. If it's not, I hate Cartoon Network.
Okay. What if it's on the Hub?
That's actually a pretty good channel.
So would you be happy if they picked it up? Like if anybody else picked it up, who would you want to pick it up?
It would be such a weird thing because like...
You're a cartoon connoisseur.
It's a DC title. And Cartoon Network Warner Brothers is very heavily tied with Cartoon Network.
Uh-huh.
So it would be
But doesn't Batman the Animated Series
license it out
show
to,
up on the Hub? Like I've watched that on the Hub
it's
before.
It's syndicated.
Oh, okay. So it's different for a new show to come up on the Hub.
Yeah.
Okay. Is the Hub not that kind of channel? I'm not a network
Hub
guy.
Hub is
for
an original channel that
shows.
Does like its own shows as well. Like it's got My Little Pony, which is actually pretty popular nowadays. And it's also got Transformers Prime, which is another good show that I
so basically all the shows you talked
up.
About two episodes ago,
yeah,
in
like
episode
that.
8 of our podcast, right?
Yeah,
when we did our 2012 year in review kind of thing.
Yeah,
so all the was it the 5 cartoon shows that we talked about or that you talked about?
And
these
those,
all sound
two of those are on the verge of cancellation.
Well, kiss of death, Daniel. Thank
Ugh,
you. I'm sure
kiss
they're
me.
Glad.
Stop the, kissing
somebody
me.
Somebody listened to this podcast and wasn't happy about that.
I
maybe
hate.
It was the execs for Cartoon Network. I don't know. Someone, Laren, did you get them on the line? Did you link this to them or something?
The
or
CEO of Cartoon Network
put it in their car when
they're
driving to work
is,
and the limo drivers?
Is
you don't know what he is.
You're
so
on, my
don't
list.
Say it.
On my
don't
list.
Don't say it. Does this conclude your rant?
My doo-doo list.
Does this conclude your rant?
Yes.
Okay. We can move on now, right?
You're on notice.
Laren, get the timer ready.
Cartoon Network, you're on notice.
We want to see how fast this guy can talk and how much good news bits he can give us as far as movies in Hollywood go. And you better be pushing that limit, because if you finish at like 2:30, I'm going to be pretty disappointed.
I'm limitless.
Okay, Bradley Cooper.
All right, so the first one is Justice League. They are actually...
Okay, good.
They actually picked out the five members they wanted to feature in the movie. It's going to be Batman, The Flash, Green Lantern, Wonder Woman, and obviously Superman. They also picked out a screenwriter for this. He goes by the name of Will Beale. He's the guy who wrote Gangster Squad, which doesn't really instill much confidence, but we'll see where it goes. And I'm pretty sure that'll go through a lot of like rewrites and whatnot, because this is a flagship for Warner Brothers. So they're not going to just like entrust it to just one guy to make it all happen.
Mm-hmm.
Plus there's saying that.
Wait. But didn't we see that with Avengers?
But the script actually went through multiple hands before it came into J.J. Abrams.
Okay. Wait, J.J. Abrams?
I mean, not J.J. Abrams.
Joss Whedon. Okay.
My bad.
All right. Continue.
All right. And the whole project will hinge upon the success of Man of Steel. So Man of Steel will need to make a lot of money for this to happen. Next book.
Okay. But Man of Steel looks like it's going to make a lot of money.
I think it'll still break like 200 mil easy.
Yeah. Definitely.
Next one. Star Wars. They finally have a director, J.J. Abrams. He lied about not being involved in this project before. Ooh.
Trickster.
What a liar. Anyway, now he's attached to the project. I think the bigger news here is that the fact that they're talking about having a female protagonist for the next episode, which you and I could agree on is a very promising news.
And progressive.
This is the future we're talking about.
This makes me happy.
Actually, the future that happened a long, long time ago.
Good.
In the galaxy far, far away.
Good one.
Anyway, that's interesting to me. I would love to see where that goes. I'm wondering if it's going to be one of Luke Skywalker's kid, whatever.
Daughter. Lucas. Oh, no, Luke. That's also boys. That's his name, probably. Luke Kayla.
All right.
That was cheap. Why'd you go there, Daniel? Come on.
Shut up.
Go ahead.
Anyway, next one. X-Men Days of Future Past.
Here we go.
Yes. They finally they were teasing about bringing back some of the cast from the past.
And apparently, they brought back...
From the past,
all
that was the future.
Yeah.
It's very confusing.
We know how time travel goes.
So they have Anna Paquin.
Come on.
Alan Page, and Sean Ashmore.
Yeah, but
they played Rogue,
30 seconds.
Shadowcat, or Kitty Pryde, and Iceman, respectively. And they're still speculating on who else is going to be coming back, but we don't know yet. Anyway, it's looking to be the biggest X-Men film to date.
Yeah. Any indication on how long it's going to be?
How long?
Yeah.
Probably like... Over 2 hours.
And Wolverine's
like going to
be in this movie, right?
Yeah.
Is this coming out before his movie or after? After,
oh,
huh?
No, this is coming out next year.
Next year? So the Wolverine movie's coming out this year?
Yeah.
5 seconds. I think that's about it, right?
Yeah.
You wrapped it up?
Yeah.
Nicely done, sir.
That's it.
Nicely done.
Very masterful.
Yeah, you left me 2 seconds to say
that. Bye, Dan
Lee. Yeah, good job.
I am awesome.
So that's what we got for your movie news today. Anything else you want to read about? I'm sure he's talked about it on toocoolforblog.wordpress.com.
I write a lot there.
Check it out. Yeah.
It's riddled with my opinions of
and
things.
And you can follow either of us on Twitter. Me at Epic Mess.
Me at Zombeef. Z-O-M-B-E-E _.
Why don't you let me spell mine?
I don't know.
At Epic Mess. E-P-I-C-M-E-S-S.
Oh.
Try to get the rights to Anthony Barola, which is a very unique name, but apparently some jackass who doesn't use it and created it in November of 2009 still owns it.
You just said a no-no word.
No, that's fine. It's okay. Another word for Democrat. It's fine.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yes.
All right. Today, we have a very, I don't want to say interesting. Everything's interesting. We have sad. Can we say that? We got to pour some, I mean, Laren, give me a sound.
So you're feeling me on this Young
someone,
Justice thing.
No. This is my turn, okay? As far as grieving.
Your turn to be sad.
As far as grieving time goes, yes. And I'm not going to give you a rant, though.
We're planting a lot of tombstones today.
But we are. Well, we're not planting them. We're attending them, you know?
Okay.
We're attending the funerals.
Artfully done.
Yeah, because we lost some good shows this past week that were cut.
Fallen Soldiers.
That were cut. And Laren, do me a favor. Get me, pour out some liquor
really
for my homies. pour out some liquor for my homies soundbite. That, if you can do too. That. Yeah. Do too. I'm pretty sure you can find it in that one movie, Don't Be a Menace to South Central, while drinking your juice in the hood, which I'm sure everybody's watched. But the point, though, is that we lost two great comedies. One of them, Ben and Kate. Fox nixed it. They had originally ordered the back nine after the Christmas break, or the holiday break. I'm sorry. We are a secular show. And they only delivered on three or four of those episodes, and it got the boot last week. Same thing exactly is said for Don't Trust the Bee in Apartment 23, which is like a way better, smarter, and stronger. Not dirty, but less middle school joke, kind of.
More,
you know, less toilet humor.
More at least adult.
Delivered more artfully, okay, and cleverly.
More better written.
Oh, way better.
Let's just say
way better written than Two Broke Girls, and Two Broke Girls keeps chugging along somehow.
I don't know. It's that CBS power, man.
It is. It really is. They know comedy, so
they just know how to tap into that.
We lost those shows. What we still have. Okay, so why don't we just gear this rest of the conversation towards shows we're excited by or about that are coming out.
Oh.
How about you? Are you really excited about Amazon? Oh, yeah. Of course, you're a teenage girl. Of course you are. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
What about the show excites
you? Let's just go into
it. Let's just
record.
Have it out there.
I'm
right?
A teenage girl.
Out there, yes.
I'm a teenage girl.
We already know that.
Who likes cartoons and Supernatural.
Yes.
You know, just like teenage heartthrobs.
Yeah, you
And
you
30-year-old
well,
heartthrobs.
You don't watch Vampire Diaries?
No.
That surprises me.
Surprises me right now.
Yeah. See,
because I'm a teenage girl.
I don't know why I'm more of a True Blood guy.
And maybe that's why I'm not interested in S.H.I.E.L.D. Because I'm a teenage girl.
Yeah. But you're not helping. You're just kind of, you know.
But why am I so into cartoons?
I don't care about that right now. I care about what shows you're excited about. Come on, move along here. Like any other shows that you're super excited about. What about these pilots that we got a slew of coming?
There was another adaptation coming out, wasn't there?
Well, probably.
Beverly Hills Cops. I'm interested in seeing how that turns out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just because.
Wait, what channel is that on? Because that might dictate whether or not I'm actually interested.
Is it NBC?
NBC?
I think it's NBC.
We'll fact check. I don't know. If it's NBC, I'll give it a chance.
I feel like it's NBC. I think the studio that developed Beverly Hills might be tied to NBC.
I think NBC is solid. Probably my favorite overall network.
I think it is Universal.
Okay.
Nothing
else. Nothing else. Now I'll talk about the following. I believe I'm closing in on 5 minutes here. Okay. So the following is a show that I wrote about very, very briefly in a post. Yeah.
Who's
starring
in it?
Kevin Bacon.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you mentioned this too when we were texting about how big name stars are coming to television more and more, mm-hmm. or coming to just shows, either it's on cable or whatever it is. And I don't know if they're bringing a following with them. Or whatever it is, but they're bringing an established record regardless.
I don't know if they're pulling. I don't know if they're carrying over fans.
Yeah,
I don't know. But it just interests people.
Yeah. Exactly. You want to see them in that.
They're like,
role.
Oh, why is he in it?
Like, oh, Kevin Bacon. Maybe I'll give it a chance.
Yeah,
you know. And the following is such a smart show. And I wrote it really dares to dive deeper.
Okay.
And the thing that I like about it though is that all the literary references.
Uh-huh.
I like how it's very bold.
Yeah.
Okay. It's very bold and. And even though it gives you some things that you kind of be like, wait, what? Come on, that's a stretch.
Uh-huh.
It does a good job of either explaining it away or just showing you why that's not a stretch.
All right. Before you go any further, tell us what the show is about.
Okay. So the following is about a serial killer,
mm-hmm.
who I think in 2003 had like a slew of killings or around that time that he got caught.
Mm-hmm.
When he got caught, it was by Kevin Bacon, who was a former agent. Who had no idea if this guy was actually the killer. He just started to suspect him. He's a very charismatic guy and he builds up his own following and he's basically a cult leader.
Okay.
So they basically follow a serial killer.
Yeah.
And he teaches them how to do this stuff, but he does it behind bars. So all this stuff that I said is kind of being explained away or stuff that seems kind of far-fetched. Uh-huh. Like, oh, how do these guys get access to him? You know, they do a good job of explaining why. The good thing I like about this show, though, is this guy's entire purpose, which was revealed at the end of episode one in the pilot, was to write a second book. So the agent, who was Kevin Bacon, wrote a book about his, this serial killer and his story with him and when he got him behind bars. And the serial killer actually read it. And the serial killer plans to write a sequel. To write that sequel, the serial killer himself is the antagonist. And he's trying to make the agent, who was retired because of disability, come out of retirement and be the protagonist. And there is a sordid state of affairs between the two because one of them slept with the other's wife. There's a kid who they don't know whose it is. And this guy's been keeping tabs on the wife the whole time.
Would you liken their relationship to sort of like Batman and Joker? I mean, the Joker kind of pulls in the hero to make him.
I could see what you would draw parallels because he does want him to play along.
Yeah,
he does. But I wouldn't say this guy's Batman because he's more of like a literary reference guy because he was a English teacher, English lit teacher.
Kevin Bacon?
No, English lit professor, I should say. Okay. The serial killer. So he's a professor at one point, and he's even made clear references. He worships Edgar Allan Poe, worships his writing, says there's beauty in death, and then he also incited the hero's call to action, which was the death of the girl who got away from him, and I guess brought him to the courts when Kevin Bacon's character saved her.
Is he on death row?
He was, but now he's got them kind of by the balls here because they can't do anything to him because he's got the son kidnapped by the babysitter and two neighbors of the wife.
Oh,
so or the other person. Sorry. So, I mean, it's very well written. There's a lot of little cogs here that you just can't get over. All right, let's move on because I'm tired of talking about great television shows. Let's talk about some great movies.
I'm tired of you. Okay.
Well, you're always tired of me, but let's talk about some great movies that came out, okay?
All right.
And apparently this is the month of Jessica Chastain.
Yep.
So
we have a theme going on.
We really do. I watched Mama this weekend.
Yeah.
I don't know what number is this for Guillermo del Toro as far as American films go. Like six? Probably a lot more, but... We had The Orphanage. Pan's Labyrinth.
Movie with
Hellboy. Hellboy 2, probably.
Tom Cruise's ex-wife.
Who's Tom Cruise's ex-wife? Nicole Kidman?
No, Kate.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
The Darkness one, yeah. Katie Holmes.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Oh, damn, I wish I knew that one. I love her. I love her eyes.
That was also Guillermo del Toro.
Yes. Well, anyway, so like I was saying, I saw Mama this weekend with my girlfriend because she's a big Guillermo del Toro fan.
Oh. Is she a bigger fan than I am?
Aren't you going to ask me what I thought of it?
Well, yes. In fact, I was going to do that, but I was so upset that I didn't get to watch this.
Well, we would have invited you, but we're all the way in LA.
But I love being the third wheel.
It's kind of far for you to drive, though. I don't know if you want
to
make that.
I go anywhere to be a third wheel. I go anywhere to be very awkward.
Okay, well, let's talk about the actual movie, please.
All right. So can you tell the audience what this movie was about?
Like his other films, Mama is a blend between horror and a little bit of science too. A little bit of science. Really? I mean, I think it's hard.
Does it get science fictiony?
Not science fictiony. Like science-y. Like
science. The science of paranormal activity.
Yeah, a little bit. Like
the experts come in and stuff like that.
Let's just say like a psychiatrist comes in. Okay. But to be fair though, it's hard to, talk about. Or it's hard to have like a horror movie without also having some science aspect to it, right? Because there's always the science element in there that serves as kind of the check. That's like, no, this can't be true, guys. This can't be happening. You know, we see that in almost every single one, right?
In modern horror, yes.
Even in The Exorcist, the first Exorcist, he doesn't believe it.
Well, the scientific aspect isn't like the people with.
There's
like
always someone who doesn't believe because of science, though. Am I right?
Like the ghost reader things and stuff like that. Things are like becoming...
I'm not thinking... Wait, what are you...
I think we have
what
to...
What are you making?
I think we're having like a different definition of science right now.
When I say science, I mean like there's a psychiatrist who's looking into history and he's saying, wait, this stuff can't be happening because that's not possible in the physical world.
Okay.
You know, the physics, the chemistry, whatever, you know? Mm-hmm. So we kind of have that element in this movie. However, let me talk really quickly about some things that I liked in this movie. They did, Del Toro did some things well, as far as the horror genre goes, in that anytime there was a creepy scene with the actual mama, whatever that apparition was,
that dark shadow.
Looming. Yeah. Whatever it was, he did a good job of one coming up with its origin and then two having it creep up on you. Where like, yeah, it's not hidden in plain sight. You see it though. You see it right in front of you, but you see it in kind of its incipient stages. You know, it's nascent stages. And then before you can even blink.
We still don't know what we're looking at.
No, like, whoever the character is, like you can look at the dad or you can look at the scientist himself. When they see it in the wall, they see it like kind of forming. And then before you know it, boom, right in your face. Yeah. And that's really good because it made me kind of cover my eyes.
It kind of hits us like a ton of bricks.
It's yeah,
and
it's
we
very
don't really
fast.
Know what we actually saw.
Yeah, it's very fast. No, we know because it shows the face, which is the criticism that I will give it. Because even though the face is kind of scary mm-hmm. of the actual apparition, the best thing about the horror genre is keeping things enigmatic.
Yes.
You know, you keep that mystery. The longer you keep that mystery, the longer you keep that suspense, the more that horror builds.
Mm-hmm.
And the bad thing is he gives us the view of it
mm-hmm.
kind of early on, maybe about 40, 45 minutes in. And I almost wanted a little bit later, you know, keep teasing us.
So it's also got an element of mystery.
Every horror has an element of mystery. Otherwise, it's not a good horror.
I wouldn't say that.
I can tell you that for a fact.
I mean, can we consider slasher flicks as horror as well?
In movies, sure.
I mean, because like you got Jason and, you know, just like monsters that just go.
But there is an element of the unknown, though.
True. That's but, what. Like, I'm so, talking so about like I, the I'm essence of mystery won. As in like trying to figure out what this is that we're actually dealing with. Like, and then there's like okay. a twist ending at the end, usually.
Okay, so, but you admitted that there is an element of mystery there, right?
I mean, supernatural beings.
Well, you admitted that there is an element of mystery though, right? You said that.
But
you just said to a point.
I was looking for like a different definition of mystery.
No, because there are degrees of mystery.
Like the whole, I meant to say that the whole story structure plays out like, sort of like a mystery movie.
No. No.
This one doesn't?
Not, I wouldn't limit it to just that.
Okay.
I wouldn't say that, no. Because, like I said, all horror movies have elements of mystery because there's no good horror movie that just gives you everything right in the open. Like okay. hardly any, you know? Because then no horror builds. Nothing. Nothing terrifying builds. It's just like, oh, well, we know what's happening. I'm not scared, you know? But anyway, yeah. So this movie, it does a decent job of that.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, the face of the woman, the mama or whatever she is scary and kind of unnerving. But I just wish they would have kept that mystery a little bit longer.
So when she appears, like you just immediately see her?
No. But like you see the apparition at the beginning, like mm-hmm. when it tells you, when it jumps back in time and tells you where this whole thing started, you know, mm-hmm. with those two little girls. But then after that, you get like a little bit of I guess a lull, and then
okay.
it tells the story of the girls, do pictures, blah 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 blah, and then it slowly starts to reveal her. But like I said, it does it quickly in those moments that I was talking about earlier, mm-hmm. where it's coming out of the wall, and then all of a sudden it's in your face,
yeah.
you know, like that. So yeah, that's what I like about as far as the revelation goes.
My first hard hitting question.
Well,
here.
I haven't finished anything yet. Go ahead.
Were you, I don't know if it's already in your
diet. Yeah, because you don't let me finish, yeah. but go ahead.
I do things at my own pace. I don't care for your agendas.
Go ahead.
Were you satisfied with the conclusion?
That's tough. I'm not going to jump there yet, okay?
I don't want you to reveal anything either.
I can't, you don't want me to tell, isn't that what we do?
Yeah, but like, this is a horror movie and like, the horror movies hinge on.
Walking Dead is a horror show, isn't it? We talk about the ending every day.
I
gotcha there, buddy. All right. Anyway, we'll get back to that when it comes to the ending, okay? I'll try to keep it as vague as possible just to keep you happy since you want
to
watch it because you're obviously being selfish.
Out to be the pop-up.
You don't care about the listeners. You just care about you
yeah.
wanting to watch it, obviously. Yeah. So I can
if
read
you. If
you
guys
like
are
book,
out
so.
There, just I'll be on the record as saying I care about me more than I care about you.
I can read you like a book, sir.
Yes.
Okay. What we'll go back to, though.
I'm a good book.
There are some parallels to Del Toro films is he always has kind of a strong female lead. And the females in his characters have a strong
Jessica
role.
Jessica Chastain. Going
Jessica back to Chastain, that. Jessica Chastain, yeah. And she's actually like the kind of an unwilling hero too in this movie, which I liked because you see her kind of change, you see her change and develop as the story mm-hmm. goes on from like an unwilling mother who's kind of just almost like a stepmother to these kids.
She wanted to keep her distance.
And yeah, she did. And she didn't want to be attached at all. And then she slowly starts to become
attached.
Because
it's also a very strange circumstance.
Oh, very. It's like, it's that one story I should have looked this up too. Of the boy they found in the woods.
Yeah, who lived with the wolves or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. And it's, I mean, how they survived is a miracle, right?
Yeah.
So like how these two daughters survived is a miracle because one of them is one and one of them is three at the time mm-hmm. of what happens
well,
when
they
get lost. A 3-year-old
out in the woods.
A 3-year-old yeah. out in the woods who can't see without her glasses. And then her glasses break the first day from what, I'm not even gonna tell you from what, but like her glasses break the first day, but the glasses truly are like the symbol of society. So when she gets those glasses back and she accepts that, you can kind of see where she's gonna go, and she's gonna kind of lean towards not the mama herself, but mm-hmm. the family that took her in.
Okay.
And I like that. That's, you know, it's kind of in your face as far as symbolism goes. It's not hard to read between the lines there.
It's not subtle.
Not subtle at all. It's, you know, it's pretty obvious. But it's necessary.
Okay.
So, you know, I like that. And the same thing can't be said for the younger daughter though. So the little one who doesn't have any verbal skills because she was only one, so she didn't learn how to talk right. yet, is way far behind. So she's lagging behind. And I don't know. I just like that he merged the science element there, because mm-hmm. that alone would have made a great movie. You know how these two, I don't think we've seen a movie like that
just
yet.
Just them settling back into society.
Yeah. Like from those kind of circumstances, we haven't seen that kind of movie right. yet. So maybe, you know, some critics would say, oh, this alone, he should have just focused on this and made it instead of going back to his usual horror stuff.
So you think there was enough material there for Absolutely. That to become like that wholly completely different movie that Absolutely. You describe right now?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And honestly, if we think about it, that's kind of another trope of horror, is you start off with one complete story and then you switch it on its heels and you just kind of nix that and go in another direction.
Yeah.
That's what they do. So I didn't mind. I didn't mind at all, because you knew going into it that it was a horror film.
Right.
So it was okay. Let me see if I can go without the big reveal. Start talking about that. As far as Chastain's performance, thought she was fine. Didn't demand much of her. So she kind of just got to coast.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think anybody had to do much in this movie, because it's more of a story-driven movie. Really?
Yeah, that's right, another thing going on.
I don't know.
In.
I didn't see the movie you're going to talk about.
Yeah.
Okay, to answer your hard-hitting question, do you have any more before I talk about the ending?
Were there any other... Well, I guess you already...
No questions?
So was the 11-year-old girl just taking care
11?
Of... You said one of them was 11,
there was
right?
one and a 3-year-old. And they find them like 6 years later.
Oh, never mind. Never mind.
So there's no 11-year-old. I don't know where you came up with that one.
Mental gymnastics. All right. We'll go ahead with the ending.
All right. You've got me a little conscious. I don't want to ruin it now for those of you who are listening and do want to watch it.
Uh-huh.
Not for you. I don't care about it if I ruin it for you. So what I'll say, though, is that the ending is very Del Toro. And then I also read before I watched this movie that he had to fight for the ending.
Oh, I heard about that.
Yes.
Actually, no, I didn't hear about that. I read about that.
So he had to fight for the ending. So I don't know if that tells you anything or not, but it has to do with kids in the ending. So I will just tell you that.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. But I will also say that it, like I said, it's very Del Toro, very much like his other films. Okay.
Are things kept very ambiguous at the end?
No, things end relatively happy. Relatively.
Okay, now you're just throwing me off.
I don't know.
I'm off your
but
trail.
But there's also a very small hint of something else.
Mama too?
I don't think so, but there's a very small hint of something else. Okay? Like the story, it comes together nicely.
There was a hidden brother.
It wraps up nicely. No, stop speculating. Stop speculating.
All right. Jessica Chastain is the mama.
Very fun movie. She looked great in this movie, by the way.
Oh, she did.
Yeah, she does. I really like her. She's
with the black hair, right?
Yeah. That cool. I don't know if it's goth punk look. I don't know, whatever it is.
Yeah.
I'm not up on that stuff.
Not very motherly look.
No, not at all. She's still.
Not that I have against any like.
No,
goth,
not at all.
You know, moms who like the goth look.
Yeah, who are obviously listening to us, because that's our market.
Yeah. The goth brothers, the goth milfs.
The goth, wow, how dare you? you watch your mouth, sir. All right, let's move on to the movie you watched, which is much more important because of the Oscar buzz.
Yeah, Zero Dark Thirty.
You sound very excited to talk about it.
It's a very hard movie to talk about, honestly.
Why?
Just the subject matter it deals with.
Yeah, we know my
objections. I personally don't even know where I stand with this movie after having seen it.
And you watched it like 2 weeks ago, right?
Yeah, and after having pondered it for a while too.
Yeah.
If you guys don't know, it's about it chronicles like a team of, you know, CIA agents hunting down Osama bin Laden, and Jessica Chastain is a rookie coming in to this hunt.
Before you go anywhere with the movie, tell me about why she won the Golden Globe, in your opinion? Like, what do you take from that after having seen the movie? Was it purely based on merit? Was it because this movie had to get awards? Was it because her performance brought that character to life? Was it because there wasn't any other good candidates in that role?
No, there were definitely other candidates in that category. Wait, was...
Yeah, you know what it was. Yeah. It was leading, so.
Yeah.
And yeah, Jennifer Lawrence was in there for Silver Linings Playbook.
To be quite honest, she did a good job of portraying that character, but I think she only stood out so much because she was the only one who was given any role with significance.
Okay, so
like everybody else is
just like background characters. Everybody else,
yeah, everybody else is basically generic. Like a cog in this, government agency. They're all just like turning.
So they're all interchangeable.
A bunch of them are just like suits. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Except for maybe the guy who
Kyle Chandler.
What's up?
Okay, wait. Okay, go ahead. I'm thinking Coach Eric Taylor from Friday Night Lights.
Okay.
Who is her boss? Is that the guy or no?
I saw the guy who performs the tortures
where she ripped into him. Okay, I don't think the same guy then.
Like he's like the only other guy like that I like kind of remember.
Okay, you broached this topic while answering my question. What do you make of the torture scenes?
It's pretty hard to sit through.
How long does it last?
Maybe there's about 10 to 15 minutes given to that entire scene. It's really hard to sit through. It's by no means it's like gory or anything like that. It's just you see a man being reduced into basically an animal.
Are you talking about the man being tortured or the man torturing?
The way he is treated, like the whole waterboarding incident. Also, they just like strip him of his attire in front of like a female CIA agent.
Uh-huh.
So, like his dignity is just stripped away from him along with his clothes, basically.
Yeah.
And there was a scene where like he brings out this dog collar and then puts it around his neck and then tugs him up to this one box.
Okay, why do you think they put that in there? For like what I didn't
watch it. Are you asking if it was like a necessary?
Not if it was a necessary thing, but I mean like what reason do you think Bigelow had to insert that? To stick to the facts or to
it's supposed to be
comment
like
subtly. I don't know. Like, what do you think what was her reason for doing that? What was the purpose behind that?
The whole thing is basically a combination of firsthand accounts. And I have to say this whole movie so like plays out like a sort of, but more like a dramatized.
Yeah. Obviously this conversation is taking a very dramatic turn because of this topic.
Yes. I just think she wanted to say this wasn't like a huge go America moment when the hunt over because of all the things that they had to go through in order to hunt down this man.
So is this a movie that kind of comments on how the ends do not justify the means? The way it depicts those things, the way it shows you those torture scenes. Do you think that kind of the end all of the movie, the ends do not justify the means?
It could be, but I just feel like she was trying to say neither sides were actually, untainted by this whole incident.
Okay, so kind of a commentary on the effects of war in general?
Yeah.
On what what it does to you as a person?
Yeah, whatever side you are on, like you weren't the clean side of it.
Yeah.
You weren't on the other fence of like the whole terrible thing going on.
Yeah. Not above that.
Good thing you did mention like the whole thing about people just like they're just like, expected to carry out these things and then it's just like a normal thing for them.
Uh-huh.
Because a lot of parts of the movie is also devoted to their personal lives where they just kind of like just hang out with like their friends or whatever.
Yeah.
They just like showcase their social side as well.
Their human side.
Yeah. And then they just kind of like talk about these certain topics like.
Everyday topics.
Just like it, 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 It's okay, a common
let
thing.
Me
show,
okay, let me tell you something. I didn't see this movie. I've made that clear about this is probably the third time I've said that. Uh-huh. There was a movie that came out, and I think it was 05 or 06, called In the Valley of Elah, mm-hmm. with Tommy Lee Jones, Charlize Theron, Josh Brolin,
right.
and some other no-name people besides Susan Sarandon. Okay. And this movie was basically a film commentary on how war desensitizes you and how war changes you, but not in a superficial way, because the story of the movie was about a man searching for his son who was murdered. Mm-hmm. Now, the army was trying to cover up that murder because some of the people inside the army were involved, okay? At the end of the movie, it's been six years since that movie, so I'm going to go ahead and reveal it to you, okay? It was the people that his son went out with on a daily basis, the people in his little platoon and his little group, all right? And the way they have the big reveal is the guy who tells him that he killed his son, he's like, honestly, I liked him. He was a good dude. I just think that
there was no hard feeling.
There was no hard feelings. He had to do. He said, he said, before I know it, we were fighting. And then before I know it, I was stabbing him. And he said he stabbed him like 20 something times. And then he just snapped back like nothing. And then he talks to his dad after like nothing. So, you know, that shows you kind of juxtaposing like mm-hmm. what you're saying. The social side, the human side,
yeah.
with the, I guess, the animalistic side that comes out when you're involved in that kind of endeavor, which right. is war. Okay, so this was a very clear commentary on that, though. Do you get that message as clearly with the way they juxtapose those two sides of each character?
Yeah, there's definitely an element of desensitization.
Is there an element of judgment?
Judgment, as in
on the people involved.
Like, are we supposed to like look at them as animals because they're able to go
because come of away how from because this? Of how she depicts it? Do you feel like you get that message? Like, oof.
I feel like she's saying,
gotta give me something.
Both sides are capable of like adjusting our moral compass, because like honestly, if
so, it goes back to attributing blame to both sides.
Yeah, like. Neither sides came away from this like clean, you know.
You
like,
said that already, but
I don't want to reiterate that point. But yes.
So, is there an error and a judgment to be cast after watching this movie?
I think this movie wants you to talk about it. Wants to keep the talk going, but I'm not so sure if you're supposed to be taking sides.
Okay, and because, you said earlier
like
that
I
it makes
said,
you uncomfortable,
both
right?
Both sides are, you know.
Yeah, I know, not clean. Yeah. But you said earlier that it makes you uncomfortable, right? Like especially the first 15, 30 minutes.
Oh, yeah. The torture scenes.
Okay. Yes. And then you're supposed to get this big happy ending after we get Osama bin Laden. But we don't, right?
No, we don't.
Okay. Do you think this is why the Oscar buzz is surrounding this movie? Because it makes you uncomfortable? Because it makes you talk about it?
Yes. I mean, like, this is one of the big events that occurred in recent events, right?
Since 2001.
Yeah. Perhaps the biggest news
since 2001, most yes. likely.
So there's no other way around it. Like this is a very important movie mm-hmm. for this generation.
I haven't changed my tune on it.
No.
As far as and I guess we talked about it after you watched this movie. I don't think you really chastised me or cast judgment on my opinion for that anyway. No. But is there any reason for me to change my tune and watch this movie and stop the boycott? What reason do I have to watch this movie? Like, honestly, is it like, will I gain something from that as a person? That I'm depriving myself of, you know what I mean?
Probably the only thing I could say is this version of like the events that occurred is probably the most complete one out right now.
It's also a very recent occurrence, though.
Yes, in any form.
It's only a year and a half, 2 years.
I don't know if there are books talking about this right now. But like the immediate thing that you could grab on, grab and then just like absorb
okay.
is probably this movie. So if you want to learn
okay.
about the events.
All right.
About what led to the eventual assassination.
Predictions for the Oscar?
This was a good movie. I still favor Argo above it.
What about as far as Jessica Chastain goes?
I don't know if she actually like stepped out of her element or not. She was just solid
mm-hmm.
overall. And Jennifer Lawrence, I hate to keep like coming back to that, but there was such a different role for her, and she kind of like broke out of her mold that people perceived her as.
I think that's a conversation for a different time.
Yeah. But like, I don't know if I like Jessica Chastain as like
as the winner. The winner. Will you be upset if she wins?
No.
Okay.
Will you but be like bothered? I said, I don't.
Smidge? Bothered? Anything?
If she, like I said, if she got it, obviously I favor Jennifer Lawrence.
Yes.
Above her. So yeah, a smidgen.
Okay.
But I won't but be overly bothered.
No? But do you understand why or no? Like, I'm not saying this to say, oh, I do, you know, accept this, mm-hmm. take it down your throat. But like, do you, I don't know, like, is there a reason why she would win? Like, really?
I think.
Or why she should?
She can't help but be nominated for this role because of how important it was.
Okay. A byproduct of the importance of the movie?
A byproduct of what this movie was.
And how she was the biggest character yeah. in the movie?
Yeah.
All right, that's fair. All right. I know we went a little dark there for you guys. Now let's lighten it up.
Hey guys, it's that time again. Yep, you guessed it. It's the Netflix pick of the week. The Netflix pick of the week. Where your two favorite hosts pick the favorite shows and movies.
We have our Woo-hoo! Netflix pick of the week that we have to get to. Yes. I know you've been waiting, chomping at the bit for this one.
Oh, God. Yeah. I was.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
I was trying to hurry my Zero Dark 30 conversation so I could get to this point.
Well, tell us why you're excited about this past week in Netflix.
My Netflix pick of the week is Supernatural.
Why?
Why? Because
I shouldn't have to ask you that. Come on, man.
It's an awesome series. It's about two brothers.
Uh-huh.
They're
CW, right? By the way?
Yes.
Okay.
The home of CW, awesome shows.
Awesome teenage girls. Yes. Awesome teenage girl shows. There we go.
Crazy Women
yes.
Network.
Yes. Go ahead.
Shut up.
No, Chris, you came up with that. I didn't go up with that.
All right. So these two brothers hunt down supernatural beings, mm-hmm. like demons, monsters, and whatnot. It's like a... Somebody described it to me as an X-File with a mullet.
An X-File with a mullet?
It's like X-Files, but with a mullet.
Will the characters have mullets?
No, but it's very, very...
trendy?
There are elements of Western.
Hard rock?
Yeah, that's also part of it.
Are they cowboys, kind of? Modern cowboys? Drifters?
They're like modern cowboys, basically.
Drifters.
They drift in, you know, they take down... the baddie mm-hmm. within the town.
The baddie? Whoever's the baddie. Oh, so are they like
because it's like a Monsters of the Week type of a town? Yeah. It's like a Monsters of the Week type of show.
Like a Buffy.
Yes. Okay. And then they'll look around in like news clippings and on the internet to see like if there's any strange occurrence in any
How do they have
towns.
Money?
Credit card fraud.
Oh, everyone's favorite pastime. Very nice.
Credit All card right. fraud.
All right. Well, maybe I'll take you up on this. Maybe I won't.
But they also don't like overspend or anything like that. They just, you know, it's just necessities. Mm-hmm. Like, in fact, a lot of the clothes they wear, most of the time, it's basically the same thing unless they have to pretend to be like an FBI
yeah.
to get into like the coroner's office or whatever.
Because it's so easy. Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. Aside from that, they usually wear the same thing.
Solid watch then. Okay. I'm going to keep you going with the theme of horror. Mm-hmm. VHS. It came out this year, I think. 2012?
Yes. I think I saw that.
Yeah. I saw the...
On a list
I first
somewhere?
Saw the thing on Yahoo about top 10 movie posters and top 10 worst movie posters. I think this was on there. I can't decide which list though. I keep forgetting.
Both.
It was on one of those lists. I know. Because they put them out together at the same time.
Best
and I was
and
like,
worst.
Oh, I don't remember which one it falls on, but yeah, it's actually a horror movie that's, I guess, four or five little short stories within it. And
different directors?
Pretty interesting. I don't know. I'm not sure. That's a good question. I don't know. I tell you this, though. It's not like Movie 43 where they have like 43 movies into one or something. It's
Wait,
just
that's actually what it is?
I heard it something like that.
43 movies?
I heard it something like that. But it's not actually 43. I'm just saying. Come on. I'm clearly using hyperbole here. But what I will say about VHS is that it does have a little bit of a vampire story in there.
So, one of them is.
Yeah. The cool thing about it is that they figure out these stories or they figure out what's happening when they pop in this VHS. And then all of a sudden they get transported to that, I think. I'm pretty sure if I understand that right. Okay. But it's interesting.
So
in that
that's how they segue between these
they,
stories.
I think they go into this house, and I'm not gonna talk about it. It's horror. Just watch it. Not that long.
Satisfying.
Yes. Watch it.
Okay.
Okay. Right. And before we are out of here, though, Super Bowl's this Sunday. Who you got? Who you got? Football aficionado.
The Ravens.
By
3 points.
What's
Kicker
the score?
Nation.
What's the score?
3-0.
So you're telling me the 49ers, Colin Kaepernick, is not going to score any points?
Nope.
So the guy who nobody's been able to stop all year?
Nope.
Oh, actually, Seattle stopped
stops. All day, every
zero
day.
0 points.
And then Kicker Nation.
You're going to make my prediction look great, by the way, just because you did 3-0. I will say the 49ers win that game. And should we have a bet? I don't know. Are you down for a bet on air, live, right now? 49ers, 34-25.
You obviously 26. Don't know anything about football.
Clearly.
Clearly.
So no bet?
Kickers win football games.
No bet? No bet?
We'll talk about this after the
show. Oh, yeah. When you put on the spot, you can do it. All right. That's going to do it for us at Too Cool For Podcast. Don't forget to check out.
I don't want to be indicted.
Don't forget to check out everything Daniel Lee writes.
For illegal gambling.
TooCoolForBlog.wordpress.com.
Hell yeah.
This is Anthony Barola.
I'm Daniel Lee.
We out.